Hello and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for an hour of chat about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them. First thing you're going to say is, you've got a new jingle. And that is absolutely correct, haven't we, Steve?
We have. And it was produced by the band we had at LRM Live this weekend.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, we had we sort of roped them in and got involved, and they've written us a nice piece of music to celebrate a year of the LRM podcast.
I can't believe we've done this for 12 months and we've kept it going every week, regardless.
I'm as shocked as you are.
Even on Christmas Day.
I know. That is dedication. But no, yeah, we're actually recording in your garden, aren't we, Steve? So if there's a little bit of background noise, apologies.
Yeah, it's quite... we live in Lincolnshire and there's quite a few planes buzz around. So from the RF bases and things, it's quite quiet at the minute.
Yeah, we're not doing too badly. A few birds and stuff like that, which is actually quite nice to be outside doing a podcast.
It is most pleasant.
Rather than on the salmon sofa.
Yeah. but what's scary is what I can see from the decking that we're sitting on is my Land Rover on axle stands at the moment.
Yeah, it's obviously we've just come back from LRM Live, haven't we?
Literally, I came back yesterday, which this is being recorded on Tuesday. Yes. You were listening to this
the next day, yeah. Not that we're cutting it fine or anything, but we're literally...
Like we did last week, you mean?
Yeah. No, that was really good last week with you and Alice.
I should mention, actually, you've got your voice back.
My voice has returned, thankfully, just in time for the show, because I was a little bit nervous that I'd be all croaky. I did have a few coughing fits, but other than that, I'm back on form.
Fighting fit.
Ready for podcastage. So, yeah, talking of, obviously, we've just come back from Malvern. You came back yesterday. I drove back on Sunday night. What an amazing show.
The weather has just given us everything we needed.
Well, we pre-booked it, didn't we?
We did pay the invoice on the Sun well in advance. And I tell you, I've said this a lot. The Malvern Hills and that showground has to be one of the most favourite venues in the country.
Yeah,
for sure. 100%.
Waking up, getting out of your tent and just seeing that amazing, like all those lovely hills in the background and just the sun coming up, just stunning, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And obviously, the show itself was a brilliant success. I think we can be in agreement.
I came away absolutely buzzing for next year.
Yeah.
Because with anything, you know, we pour our heart and soul into it. Well, I certainly have a few sleepless nights, I have to say. But kind of like to see the quality of the Land Rover that is attending our events and how nice everyone is.
Yeah.
With events and with general public, it's quite often the case you do have situations to deal with or complex, you know,
it's the nature of the beast. It's a lot of people in and not a lot of space.
Or you have an illness and the medics have to get involved and there's reports or health and safety. All of that stuff, it was so good. It was so pleasant to spend. Well, I was there 5 or 6 days. 6 days, I think. 5 days. 5 days I was there.
Yeah.
So I was camping in a roof tent for 5 days. It was like almost, don't tell the boss, but I was like almost like being on holiday.
I was going to say, I think you just go on Wednesday to have a little doss for a couple of days and then you actually do some work.
If only that was the case. Well, there's so much.
I might come next year and see.
Yeah, you know, you're more than welcome. to be honest, one thing we did work out is, you know, we were doing 18-hour days every day.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
It's so much. Because we end up with we end up starting with a blank field. So every single... You know, the arena and all of that stuff, all the fencing and the signage, all has to be put up by us. But yeah, it's good.
What's obviously, yeah, it's tons of work. But when you're in the thick of it on the Saturday and the Sunday, people are chatting away, watching the arena, buying stuff from the amazing traders that have made, you know, put in a lot of effort to be there. The club stands this year were exceptional. There were some amazing club stands this year. Everyone's just having a good time.
So go on then. Favorite club stand?
Well, it had to be Camel Trophy Tribute Club, who won the award, sponsored by 4x4 Tyres on the Sunday afternoon.
Amazing. There was like 20 plus vehicles, wasn't there?
There was a lot of vehicles, but also it was the range of them and obviously range of Land Rovers, but also range of conditions, like the from freshly restored to just pulled out of a shed. Like there was something for everyone, and they're such a lovely, inclusive bunch of people. Even if you don't own a Camel Trophy Land Rover, maybe yours is a replica, maybe you don't own one at all, you just really like Camel Trophy. They're just such nice, engaging people to talk to.
You could feel that, like the the sort of atmosphere they created, the passion for it. I spoke to a few of them. You know, pretty much I booked in literally every single club member, camper and trader. So I've said hello to literally everybody. But they were, the passion is just unbelievable. That club, for all the clubs, but especially them.
Definitely.
It's so engaging.
A real treat on Sunday as well. Photographer Nick Dimbleby turned up, and obviously he's got a huge history with Camel Trophy and Land Rover in general. It was absolutely awesome to have him in the arena interviewing some of the owners of these really special cars. An added bonus, really, to an already brilliant arena setup. Dunsfold, of course, came along, brought a nice selection of stuff. L322, which has been in the mag recently. The Police Range Rover. Beautifully restored two-door, which again has been in the mag recently.
British Airways 90.
90. So it was a really, really nice sort of look into the ages, really, of Land Rover. It wasn't just one era. It was, and that's what I think is possibly one of my favourite things about that show, is just it brings everyone together. It doesn't matter what you're into. Like in the arena on the Saturday morning for the opening parade, Ian Butler from RCP, Replacement Chassis Parts, brought in his just finished Discovery One Bobtail. When do you see a newly built Bobtail Disco One now?
I haven't seen one like that for many years. It's almost like it's like retro cool to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I've seen his previous vehicles, the standard he builds them to, he's, you know, it's right up there, and this is no different. It's not like a pop riveted together like Tiger Seal.
Oh, professional build. That
it's
one.
Really, really neatly done. But the way he's retained the style that was so popular back when people were cutting them up for winch challenges and off-roading, and it's just, yeah, massive, massive Land Dragon, CST Land Dragon tyres, and, you know, it looks so aggressive and like...
slightly wider than perhaps the rear arches allowed, I notice. They stuck out a fair way.
Yeah, well,
you know.
No comment. But absolutely amazing. And, you know, as you've already alluded, a lot goes on behind the scenes to make the event happen. And for the most part, I mean, to be honest, I don't think I've seen anyone moaning on any social media, which is almost unheard of after a show.
Whenever we come back from any of our events, however tired I am, I can't help myself but look on social media. And sometimes you see comments, don't you, and think, oh, that's not fair. Or you see the odd negative one. But I have, yeah, touch wood, I've seen only but positive reviews, and everyone wants it to come back next year. And no doubt it will.
That said, obviously, you know, we're not scared of feedback. So if you've got any pointers or anything that you thought worked well, something you thought could be improved, by all means, do drop us an email, editorial@lrm.co.uk. And we'll do our best to improve it even more for next year. Because one of the biggest things people said was, wow, this is like, it's such a nice atmosphere. And it's bigger than last year, because it was.
It has grown for the third year. And again, what we're trying to do is not just go big for the sake of being big.
Yeah.
There's no point in... I'll be honest now, right? We could make it the biggest Land Rover show in the country, but it doesn't make it the best.
True. Yeah.
It's about quality, not quantity, for me, anyway.
Definitely.
And I think just the whole vibe of it. Tell you what I did see, though, and I can't get them out of my head. As I booked in, I don't know if they were part of the North Wales Land Rover Club, South Wales, or not a club at all, but there was a pair of immaculately turned out Discovery 2s.
Okay.
And they both knew each other, but they were like what I class as OEM plus.
Right.
So they were like, there was something going on, but not enough to make it not look standard. Oh. They were like factory.
Okay, I'm annoyed I missed them.
I want one.
Them. Discovery 2's done right are lovely, aren't they?
They'd gone slightly bigger, I think, on the tyre. Possibly slight suspension lift.
Okay.
Or heavy, I'm not sure. They were just like they left the factory.
Yeah.
And loved them.
I'll have to, you'll have to send us a picture if you're listening. Hopefully you're familiar with the podcast. If that was you, then again, get in touch. I'd love to see photos, because annoyingly I must have missed that.
Well, the owner I spoke to said, wow, these are amazing, because the condition of both of them was superb. And so they'll know, if they're listening, they will know I mentioned it.
Excellent. And we actually met someone who's been really, really helpful to us over the last year, would you believe, by A, listening to the podcast, which is super, but also he always shares on his story, doesn't he, when he's listening. Jamie,
Yes.
Defender Restore.
Defender underscore Restore. So, part of my rebuild of my 90s in the garage, the project that now I can actually find some time to crack on with again. Now it shows out of the way. Yeah, well, you know, I looked at it today.
You've looked at it? Yeah, your other 90's got a wheel off over there.
Yeah, I'm changing the rear shock bushes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll let you off on that.
Have an MOT book Thursday.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, just as well you book that for after the show.
Yes. It's not due quite yet. I think it's due next week, but I've got myself a few days just in case. But preventative maintenance.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, anyway, back to Jamie.
Yes.
So he comments on the podcast, doesn't he? And he engages with the stuff. So his project is a little bit further ahead than mine, but I use his, and I told him this, I use his as inspiration because he's doing it in very much similar circumstance to me, the DIY shed.
Is this a Defender 90 as well?
Yeah, 200 TDIs.
Oh, fine choice, Jamie.
Yeah, really, really good. And his mate, Freddie, I think it was... was there as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's got a Series 1 that's too immaculate to use, and he's now got a 2A. Anyway, we stood by the main arena chatting for probably 45 minutes about where we were at, just talking Land Rovers. Anyway, we've both, in fact, all three of us have committed something.
Right.
So just behind us, there was a herringbone parked Land Rovers, wasn't there, by the arena's edge.
Yeah.
I said to it, Jamie, do you think your Land Rover will be here next year? He goes, oh, I'd like to think so. And I said, well, see that space behind that you've just been created by Land Rover going into the arena? That's yours if you can.
Oh.
And he said, I'll tell you where this came about. I said, I only work under pressure and targets. And I'm quite competitive, so I need to have something. I said, all right, I'm going to put myself out there. If you get yours here, in 12 months' time, mine will be parked next week, completed.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
And his mate Freddie was there, and his 2A hasn't even started the project. And he goes, kind of like, what about me? I said, well, there's your space as well.
There you go.
So all three of us have agreed. Now we've got a countdown between us.
You've got a year to get them done, boys.
Yeah. 363 days left.
Not that you're counting or anything.
No.
You've got to get your green one through an MOT first, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
Oh, no, it'll be fine. Yeah. Well, we did a service the other day, didn't we, which will be featured on our YouTube page.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. We've done a few bits on that, actually, haven't we? The anti-roll bars have finally made it on, which is where we realised that your shock bushes are shot, because we had GoPro footage of the underneath, and the axle was hammering up and down, and the damper wasn't moving.
Which does explain a fair bit, actually. It wasn't sharp.
Yes, it doesn't make an enormous difference because you've got essentially like 1 or 2 inches of no damping whatsoever on the back if the bushes are no good. But yeah, it's easy enough job to swap them over. You've gone for poly bushes, haven't you?
I have put poly bush, the orange ones, which is called Dynamic.
Dynamic flavour.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that'll sort it out. I'm sure it'll fly for an MOT.
Well, I've done one side. I'm just about to put the wheel back on after the podcast and I'll do the other side. Because today I am not looking at emails.
Yeah, good shout.
Although I have done for the first couple of hours.
Yeah.
My head is too fuzzy.
Yeah, my head's okay now. Yesterday I was pretty useless, to be honest. We're both a little bit burnt, aren't we? Or you have been a little bit on the crispy side.
But I tell you what, I was quite fortunate. Like I said, our colleague Alice was there and she kept spraying this, like, sun cream with like an aerosol.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so normally sun cream's annoying because you put it on your hands, don't you, and you rub it all in.
It's like rubbing yourself with EP90.
This was like being sprayed with WD-40.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So you shut your eyes and just kept spraying me, which shaved me, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Happy day. Yeah, because Malvern, it is just like a bowl, isn't it, in the middle of the Worcester countryside, and the sun just fills it.
It does, fortunately.
Not that we're complaining.
No, no. It was lovely. I had 5 days living outside.
Yeah, it was glorious.
And told me... trailer, which is the first outing for the Land Rover anti-roll bar, so I haven't actually properly experienced what it's like standalone, but it's brilliant.
Happy days. Yeah, the trailer's looking well, and you got your cabinets in there. It looks so good parked up. I don't know if anyone would have seen it because we were camped right over the back, but when you've got the soft shell roof, the front runner tent open with the awning hanging off the side of it, it is literally like a small house.
We've got your lounge, you've got your changing room on the underside of the tent, and then your living quarters upstairs.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Absolutely spot on. You had, yeah, like you say, a little charging station in there, didn't we? Like your fridge was in there.
Yeah, it had everything fixed. Running and tables and a little collapsible bin. It's really useful, right? So it turned up from one of these places my wife Louise bought it from. I thought, what's that crap? You know, because it's this plastic.
Was it like a Temu special?
Probably. But right. It's almost like it all pushes together. This is flimsy old plastic, but it hangs a bin bag. Really useful when you've got, you create rubbish, don't you?
Yeah.
To have a collapsible bit. It's not even collapsible. You take, it's like, it's almost like Lego. It's not Lego. It's just like this.
Snap together stuff.
But,
oh, right, okay.
But it's really useful. Just small things like that to have a bit when camping.
Yeah, it's the small things that make a big difference, isn't it? I learned this by, halloumi update. No halloumi was ruined this weekend.
We didn't cook any, that's why.
I subbed it out on Friday because I couldn't face the wrath for another year. So I did run the barbecue and cooked everything else, but there's a plane going over.
Yeah, we have a jet flying overhead, which is hopefully not the one that... What day is it? Tuesday?
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Oh, do you know, if we were recording this, most Tuesdays there's two jets that do dogfights above this house.
Is there?
Yeah, it vibrates everything.
Upsetting.
That's gone now.
So hopefully it's not... yeah, it's fine. Jets, thankfully, quite fast. Where was I? Oh, halloumi. Yeah, so the charcoal, right? I didn't believe ever that there was much difference in charcoal, but on the Friday I used these things. They're called heat beads. I've had them a little while. I don't know if there's maybe a bit of damp got into them, but I really struggled to keep enough heat in the barbecue to cook for everyone, which was quite...
There was a lot of people on our campsite.
So I thought for the next night I would mix it up a little bit, and I had a bit of charcoal left from a guy who I'd met. I can't remember. Oh, it was we did a workshop guide on fitting gullwing doors to a Discovery 3 gullwing side locks.
Oh yeah, that was ages ago, wasn't it?
Quite a while. And he gave me a bag of charcoal because he makes charcoal for a living. That's his business. He's called Stag British Charcoal, by the way. Absolutely brilliant company to deal with. And I thought, I'm going to try that. So I did exactly the same method. Heated it up in the little chimney thing. Poured it into the barbecue, and it was far hotter, and it stayed hotter far longer, and I blitzed everything. It was brilliant. So yeah, charcoal does actually matter. Who would have thought it?
I knew this.
Did you?
Yeah.
You could have told me.
Well, you never asked. But yeah, cheap charcoal from petrol stations is not the place to be.
Okay.
Definitely not. It's for like kind of that compressed stuff.
Isn't yeah, that's good? What he told me actually is there's a lot of bad, nasty stuff in charcoal.
And it's all that to bind it together and things like that. But in fact, it was my uncle who, incidentally, was the guy that got me into Land Rovers when I was 9. He used to have charcoal burners in the woods.
Right.
And would do all the coppicing, traditionally.
Yeah.
And then I used to help him with this Fordson Major, you know, coppicing and cut, you know, thinning out the woods and replanting trees. And he would make charcoal.
Yeah, this is what this old fella does.
Dusty old job.
Enormous burners that he makes the charcoal in. But yeah, Stag British Charcoal, highly recommended if you've got a lot of people to cook for or you just want decent charcoal. So
I'm going to have to get some now.
Honestly, really, really good stuff. So, yeah. But
other people that camped with us.
Well, hang on. I was going to segue into this seamlessly. Oh, okay. Talking about your MOT.
Oh, yeah.
So your MOT is booked for Thursday.
Thursday.
Haven't we got a meeting on Thursday?
Yeah, we have a meeting on Thursday. This is why I'm going to ask you to pick me up.
Oh, is this you asking me to
pick? I am now. I was going to ask you in a little while, but thanks for reminding me.
No worries.
Can you pick me up from the garage, please?
Yes, fine.
Thanks.
This is a little look into the dynamic Steve and I.
And then
it's normally revolves around me picking him up and dropping him off places.
A bit harsh.
No, it's true. Anyway.
Yeah.
Someone who put an enormous effort into getting their Land Rover to the show because they didn't want to turn up in their Ford Ranger was a special guest that we invited for the weekend.
Oh, nicely segued.
You like that, didn't you?
Yeah, thanks.
Matt Allcroft joined us. Fitter Matt. You might have seen him on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Top guy. What a guy.
What a legend.
What a nice chat. And yeah, we had a good crack, didn't we? Having a barbecue and having some beers and just walking around. He brought us his Series 1 down. On a trailer behind his 110, which he'd got MOT'd at 4 o'clock on the Friday afternoon before loading it up.
After welding it?
Yeah, he'd been off the road 2 years. Been sat under a tree 2 years. And he was like, right, I can't turn up in a Ford. I'll get berated. So, he dragged it out, did a few bits, did some welding, A-frame ball joint, I think he said, and a couple of other bits.
He did quite a bit of work that day.
He smashed it, and he'd been ill as well. He'd got the lurgy as well up to that point, so he was up against it. But sure enough, I think he rocked up in the end about mid-afternoon Saturday, didn't he?
Just in time for your barbecue.
Yeah, well, I think he might have timed it perfectly.
Must have smoked the charcoal.
Maybe. TD5, dark green TD5 double cab with the trailer and his Series 1 on the back.
Yeah, but that, because I think he's going to put a new chassis under it, isn't he?
Yeah, the TD5. He was talking to Richards at the weekend.
Definitely needs one.
Or
paint.
He's definitely had his money's worth out of that chassis, I think.
Yeah.
But it did get through an MOT, and it made it down south, having sat dormant for 2 years. And, yeah, as I say, trailer with a really, really nice Series 1, 58 Series 1 with a BMC diesel in it.
Yeah, 2.2 BMC.
I don't think I've ever seen that conversion in person before.
I know the engine. That engine ends up in a lot of boats.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of river cruiser boats, the BMC sort of, sometimes two of them as well.
Oh, really?
BMC, yeah, it's a plodder. It just goes on forever. But it makes it go quite well. I think it probably would.
It certainly scooted around the arena quite nicely when he had a go at Carcana on the Sunday.
When he started it up, he goes, oh, it always needs a bit of glow, a lot of glow. And then that's typical of a BMC engine, in my opinion, as well.
Right.
I've owned a BMC engine, but only 1.8. So that was on a boat. 1.8 diesel. And they just go on forever. Like, literally forever.
That's the non-turbo goodness, that is.
It is. That's quite a raw hit when it started up. And you got a little bit of smoke, and I thought, that's proper.
Did it take you back in time to where
it does. That immediately made me want one.
Just a low mist of fumes above the grass.
I mean, it's not great, is it, for the environment? But it's kind of like...
Well, no, but then again, cars that are great for the environment don't last 50, 60, 70 years, do they?
And then therefore, they're not good for the environment.
Exactly. So it's all...
So there you go. That Series 1 is good for the environment.
It is. And not only is it good for the environment, but you can win it very soon. Once Matt's done a bit of work, he'll be raffling it off.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I might enter that. I'd quite like to own that.
I'd love to. I mean, he says that he's been using it as sort of, he's been making sure it's reliable by using it to go to the pub, which, to be fair, is the ideal way of making sure a vehicle is roadworthy and fit for giving away. So keep an eye out for that. I don't know when he plans on doing it. Like I say, he's got a little bit of tidying up to do, a few little jobs. But that's the eventual destiny for that Series 1, is he'll give it away to a lucky winner. So, yeah, it was all good fun. Wayne Scott, of course, joined us in the arena to do the comparing and absolutely smashed it both days. We had a real variety of stuff going on in the arena, didn't we?
We did. And, you know, again, next year we'll change it up and put more. What was your favourite bit in the arena?
I like Carcana. Carcana was quality.
Yeah, I might have to take part. I'll never get time.
I tried it last year and did very badly. Carcana, for those of you who haven't been to LRM Live, well, first of all, come next year, you can see it in person. But it's a series of five challenges, precision driving challenges that you do in your own Land Rover. We set out a course with cones and poles and bits of tape. And essentially, one of them is we stick a piece of coloured tape on your wheel. You have to drive two full revolutions of the wheel and guess where
it stops. Okay.
So that's the first one, and that's kind of weird. Some people get it really, really close first time, and other people like drive off into the distance, and you're going to struggle to measure their score. And then we've got parking garages. We mark out a garage, and you've got to get as close to the cone as possible without hitting it. Parallel park challenge. And I just think it's so good because the sort of range of people you get and their Land Rovers, and you very quickly get a feeling for the pros and cons of each model. So like two guys, Matt and Jamie Buffton, had a go in their Series Land Rovers on Sunday, and the visibility, because they're both open top with no door tops on, was a big advantage, obviously. But they both, neither of them have very good steering lock, of course, and they're not, you know, they're a bit cumbersome. Whereas the winners, actually both days, Saturday was won by a Freelander 2, same guy who won last year, actually. He's a proper pro.
He's
the man to beat. Ben, his name is. And a Freelander 1 won on the Sunday. Again, visibility, not brilliant, but manoeuvrability, very good.
So if you want to win Carcana in 2026, bring a Freelander.
I think we'll have to have a Freelander only class next year.
That's interesting.
Do you think?
Yeah, put them into classics, like series.
Yeah, maybe. We could divvy them up.
Yeah, that's not a bad
shout. What was your favourite arena moment from the weekend?
I really enjoyed the falconry.
Did you?
Because, did you see, I've never really seen like a vulture up close. Well, what character
I've met a couple of vultures.
Well, I mean, I have three cake Thursdays and stuff. Yeah. Like that. I've never seen a vulture up in, I have seen them up close, but never in like an arena where it was walking around. What character that thing had.
Really?
Yeah.
I wish I'd seen.
Falconry is brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not falconry. What's something I learned. Falconry is the art of capturing prey with the birds.
Oh, right.
We watched a bird of prey display.
Okay.
Not falconry. There you go.
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
So, yeah, another thing that was really popular and a carryover from last year because it was so good and everyone can get involved, the dog show hosted by our friend James.
James Buzzle, he's the editor of a sister magazine of ours, Your Dog.
Yep. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how old your dog is, what breed it is, come along. Few different disciplines, if you like, for the dogs to take part in, and lots of different classes, lots of prizes to win, and that always goes down well, doesn't it?
Yeah, we picked this up a couple of years ago because a lot of people bring dogs to our events, and a lot of events will say, you know, dogs on short leads welcome and all of that, and it's a little bit kind of like, I don't know, the dogs aren't inclusive,
negative, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, oh, well-behaved dogs on short leads are welcome, but
look at our Spurs days. We have dog of the day.
Yeah, so he introduced that because we thought it'd be nice to just showcase the dogs and make a thing of it. And it's really difficult. So now people are coming up to us going, I've bought my dog deliberately to feature in dog of the day. Can I have a picture taken? And you do. And take all the pictures back to the office. And there might be 20 dogs or 30 dogs to choose from. And we narrow it down to a half a dozen,
yeah,
which is quite tricky. And there's always only one winner. But this time we had the dog of the day. Well, not dog of the day, but we had a mini dog show, didn't we?
Which
is fantastic.
It was really good fun.
Just mixing it up, because we've interspersed with Land Rover and then dog and Land Rover then falconry or bird of prey. And then Land Rover then Carcana. Do you know what I mean? It's like kind of keeping it...
Yeah, 100%.
Keeping it interesting.
It's, it's nice to, like you say, break things up a little bit and see exactly, you know, what people like the most. And it means we can tweak things in future and, you know, hopefully improve every year, which I think we've achieved this year for sure. But there was plenty. In fact, our friends from Boom Racing came along as well, didn't they? They were next to the LRM stand. Pete.
Saw loads of it.
Paul, Dave.
Around.
They were driving around in their scale Land Rovers. They had all sorts on display. They had a few things for sale. The Camel Trophy. I think their 18th or 24th scale little... scale crawlers, they had them for sale, sold loads of them. Lots of people happy driving them around the showground.
Are we putting them on YouTube soon?
Yeah, we're going to... Exclusive here. We're going to start having...
Well, I dropped something in there.
No, it's fine. We're going to start having a collector's... I haven't actually come up with the name yet. It's either going to be Collector's Corner or like Model Zone or something. A couple of pages in the mag every month showcasing the latest in Land Rover-based models and radio-controlled vehicles.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Because it's obvious how much people who are into Land Rovers also enjoy tinkering with other stuff. And that's sort of the natural link, I think.
Definitely. That'd be interesting to see.
Keep an eye out for that. We'll have all sorts to show you. Because the market's exploded in that stuff recently. So, yeah, really, really exciting. And, in fact, Paul Shevlin brought his Series 2 Fred Dibner replica. He sort of impromptu joined the Series 2 club and went for a couple of laps of the arena, which was quite funny. That brought a few smiles.
Yeah, it's just lovely. It's a real. I'm sort of riding that sort of buzz at the moment off the back of the show because so much has gone into it, and the sun's still shining. So
Yeah, it really is. I have to say, I was nervous on Friday when I left mine to go to drive to Malvern because it was a bit grey and windy and cloudy. I was like, oh, this.
That was a bit nippy Saturday morning, I have to say.
Yeah, that's true. Sunday was really, really nice, wasn't it?
Yeah. I thought you were saying you were nervous because you were driving your Series 3 V8 for a particularly long journey.
No, I had total faith in it, although the amount of stuff I had in the back, I hadn't secured it the best. The barbecue fell over on the way home. I was kind of relieved to get out of it after 3 hours and have a shower and go to bed because it was, it's not quiet on the motorway. It's so much better to drive than it was before I re-chassied it, but it's still a series Land Rover. There's no getting away from that. Did you get any ideas for your project while you were there? There's loads of great traders there, wasn't there?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
And it involves spending money.
Yeah. That is the only thing, isn't it?
Yeah, so... good news, actually.
Okay.
So in a couple of weeks from now, I'm heading down to, which will be the first instalment of the Defender rear, with Phoenix Automotive, Defender rear tubs.
Okay.
I'm doing the rear tub rebuild. So that will feature in the magazine at some point.
Sure.
So all my panels are there with them. And then we're going to dismantle it and put them back together. So that's good. But thinking ahead of that, the soft top.
Oh, yes.
So I spent quite a lot of time talking to John on... I can't think of his surname now.
John Rayson. Ex-Maltron.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice chap.
Really knowledgeable chap. In fact, he was showing me his D2, which incidentally is another cracking example.
Okay.
On the stand, because they're doing some retrim kits for Discovery 2s now.
Oh, brilliant.
Because often you see them for sale, don't you? The classifiers, and the driver's seat's hanging.
Yeah, definitely.
Not anymore. You can just go to Exmoor Trim and get it sorted.
Ideal.
Talking to him. So once the rear tub's back, do I then put on the cleats for the original tilt, or do I go and get one of the later ones with the rail, you know, the rail where
it has a bead that slides along,
and then it's kind of easier. There's no ropes. You don't have to drill all those cleats. Do you call them cleats?
I think so.
Yeah, they're little cleat things, don't you? And the bit on the back.
That hold the ropes.
That hold all the ropes. Because the access is a pain in the backside, isn't it, on an original canvas?
Because it can be. You get, obviously, the more you use it, the quicker you get, but it can be a bit fiddly, especially if you ask someone to go and open the back of it and they're just stood there.
Untying things.
Confronted by a sea of knots and things like that.
I've just
bought
a zip.
That would have been, that style of hood will be the same style as what... the Goodwood 90 had that we did in a feature on the Trendsetters feature a few months ago in the magazine.
It would indeed be that.
It's got the twin zips either side,
yeah.
Twin zips at the back, and then you slide the stuff along and then it rolls up.
Slide the bar. There's a bar, isn't it, along the bottom?
Yeah, holds it
all tight. And one thing that John was explaining was, well, there's kind of three options, really. So I stick my... Because ultimately my Land Rover is going to have to live outside.
Okay.
That's a soft top.
Right.
A standard canvas... isn't going to like that particularly well.
Depends if you keep it treated, I guess.
Yeah, to a certain point. But whereas, it is mohair. Isn't
yeah.
It? The mohair ones last many, many, many years longer.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, but they're a lot more money.
But they do look fantastic.
Yeah, that's the look I'm going for.
Like a NAS look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's three options. So you either stick one of those over your normal galvanised hoop set.
Yep.
That's one canvas type. Or you put heavy duty roof bars on.
Oh, like the, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yep. And that's the next canvas type.
Right.
So there's two options there. And then the third option is you opt for the safety devices cage and then the bars that go in and out.
Oh, canvas, part external.
Yeah, part external, part internal.
Right.
That's another option. So you have to decide at that point.
And then buy everything.
Buy everything.
Ooh.
Either way, it's all quality, don't get me wrong, but it's still our commitment.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Financially. Options.
Yeah.
But you need to think ahead, because I've done this in the past, and you don't think ahead too far, and then you make mistakes and things you have to undo.
Yeah. A build is like an onion. The different layers, and once you've put one layer in and built other layers on top, you've then
commit you.
To peel the onion and get back to it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to be very mindful, and I need to start putting some figures on paper.
I'd probably avoid doing that, actually, because talk yourself out.
Yeah.
If, like, I had a very strict budget.
So just go in blind,
to do the 110, right? And I started writing down all the figures of what it was costing me. And then basically it got to the point of the budget. And then I stopped counting because I was too far in to not do it. But I didn't want to know what it was going to cost to do the rest. Mm. So I've applied that logic.
Yeah.
For better or for worse.
Yeah. No, I am building that Land Rover for me. Mm. And I'm building it to last for me.
So you've got to, yeah, like you say, you choose once, you do it right, you're happy with it.
Tell you what else. I mean, considering this is the B-Res 90 and the purists will not like it because there's nothing, you know, it's now a 300 TDI. But I saw those Evo Corsa wheels.
Oh, ain't they nice?
In bronze.
Yes.
Oh.
Did you see?
Yeah, and I kept looking at them thinking, that is not what I would normally go for. I mean, I've still got white steels on my 90, like it's farm spec. But there's something about that and the colour I'm potentially going for.
See,
which our friend Jamie now knows the colour.
Does he?
He asked me. Yeah, I did tell him. He says, have you decided? I said, I have. And I told him. He's like, oh, okay, interesting. I think he was quite keen on it.
Interesting. I didn't realise you'd let the cat out of the bag to anyone. There we go.
Yeah, but, you know.
I think the colour you have chosen would look fantastic with any kind of bronzy type wheel, but the Evo Corsa is just absolute chef's kiss. The design is lovely, isn't it?
They're around £240 to £250 a corner.
Right.
Given that would go 16-inch wheel rather than the bigger ones.
Yeah.
So you're talking...
It's not cheap, is
it? Yeah, if Tommy's done that, then you're going to put different tyres on and... But you only got to buy them once.
Yeah, I agree with you. And actually, did you see RAC Parts 90? They're freshly built. It's like a Porsche. I think it might be Miami Blue, but don't quote me on that.
I think it's Miami Blue as well.
With white Evo Corsa on it and the BFG all-terrain, and it just looked gorgeous.
And it's got all like black panoramics on it, hasn't it? It's hard top.
It's a lovely blend of colours. There's not too much of anything. If you had like a hard top Miami Blue with a... You know, the blue...
Too much blue. Roof. Yeah, no, I can see what they've done there.
They've broken it up really, really nicely with different, like, say, white wheels and then the dark glass. Looks really, really, really smart.
I think they have another project on the go, similar.
Oh, do they?
I think they said they were building something else.
Oh, she'll have to have a look.
Yeah. I think it should be going to Mac.
Yeah, but I'll have to give them a shout. I teed up Lauren to come into the arena, but unfortunately we got so carried away with the clubs that we sort of ran out of time. And had to condense everything, which is a danger. But can't forget Neil Watterson's winching demos on. He was absolutely on it both days, Saturday and Sunday, demonstrating all types of different ways of moving your Land Rover if you get stuck without a conventional winch.
I walked past and all I saw, I mean, Neil was clearly in his element.
Yeah.
He had half a dozen people pulling on different bits of rope on this massive pulley system.
Right.
And he was measuring the pulling power.
Oh, he had a dynamometer or whatever they're called, aren't they? Like a load meter.
Yeah, like a load meter. I was en route to something else. So I sort of glanced across. I thought, he's in his element there. And you can see these people like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because pulling something one way was making something pull the other or something.
He wanted to try a few different theories, one of which was, can you pull a Land Rover backwards with a front winch and a series of pulleys? So if you rig it all up properly, because in theory, it should try and pull the Land Rover in half because you've rigged it at one end and
pull it in the other,
just try and stretch it. But apparently it did work. And also, like you say, you rigged up a load of different pulleys and was having members of the audience and kids and whatever else pulling a Land Rover with like minimal effort, like just by rigging it cleverly.
Yeah.
A lot to be learnt there. And we'll have to do something in the mag about that as well, because winching is sort of, not falling out of favour, but it's becoming less knowledgeable. People who are getting into Land Rovers don't learn about it for a little while after perhaps even buying a winch.
Well, they put learning about it at the point in which you're stuck.
No, exactly. That's
you
the
probably
worst.
Need to learn before.
You definitely do, especially for safety, because winches and forces, you know, you're playing with quite a lot of force, I guess. So, theory is handy to know.
Talking of which, there was a Land Rover in the arena, 50th anniversary,
yes.
With a quad exhaust,
yes.
Air suspension.
Yes.
A guy with only one leg, in fact.
Yeah, I had a good chat with him, actually.
Yeah, I did.
It's a, first of all, the base vehicle, obviously 50th anniversary, V8 automatic, absolutely gorgeous and very well presented, but he's taken it, he's put his own stamp on it, he's taken it one step further. Like you say, he's got independent air suspension. So he can tilt it over, he can raise it, lower it, makes it easier to get in and out of. The fella's in a wheelchair, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. An industrial accident. Accident.
Yeah.
And so he's, but he's done that himself, all that build himself. And why I was talking about winching is when Richard Hammond was winched up the dam on Top Gear.
Oh, yeah, they recreated the advert, didn't they?
Yeah, they recreated the advert. He was the man on the winch.
Is that right?
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, all those years ago.
Small world, isn't it, the Land Rover scene?
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely amazing.
That's why I brought him up. But obviously that vehicle was, you described as one of the best in the world.
I can well believe it, yeah. Yeah, it's really, really, really nice. And, I mean, 50th anniversaries are cool anyway. Any Leon Ishmael are cool. But certainly when you see them done tastefully like that and, you know, with touches that have made his life easier, but also just, you know, the sound of the V8 through those quad tip, they're all TIG welded exhaust front to back. Absolutely glorious. He came in the arena with that.
If you own a Land Rover, Range Rover or Jaguar and have had trouble with your diesel particulate filter, the DPF, then listen carefully. Lee Day, a major UK law firm, is leading a group claim against Jaguar Land Rover for allegedly faulty DPF systems in diesel models made between 2015 and 2023. They already represent nearly 20,000 Land Rover, Range Rover and Jaguar drivers in a no-win, no-fee compensation claim. To see if your Land Rover qualifies for the claim, visit leedaylaw.info/JLRDPF today.
Did you see the 130 high cap double cab by Colt 4x4?
Yes, that was a very, very nice thing. A very, very late 130 as well. It was on a 15 or a 16 plate, one of the last.
I didn't even look at the reg, actually.
Yeah, yeah, that, really, really.
Like a sand colour, wasn't it?
Like, yeah, almost like a desert sand, like military look.
But gloss. Yeah. That, oh, if I had a need for a Land Rover like that, which I obviously don't, like a work truck, that was amazing.
Yeah, definitely. 130s are like, I've driven a few. I've known friends that have bought them and owned them. They're sort of like as practical as they are impractical because you try and park them as a nightmare.
Oh, hugely. The length of it is huge.
Yeah. But, you know, if you need to carry five people and loads of stuff, what a machine. And they look so good when they're modified. Like, that was tastefully done.
Yeah, that maybe M plus again.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It wasn't overblown. It was just perfect. And in fact, that sort of method of modifying, if you like, carried over to our modified Land Rover of the Show award winner, which was a really, really nice wood coat green TD590.
I remember that coming in, actually. It's the colour's quite striking, isn't it?
It is, and it's very rare on Defenders. It's more of a Discovery One colour. They used it more on Disco One than they did on Defender. So when I saw that, it was actually Matt. I was walking around with Matt Allcroft, and he's, oh, let's go and have a look at that over there. And
so that was in the camping field, not the...
Yeah, it was. It was in the corner in the camping field. But we were wandering around on the Sunday and it was like, oh, we've got to go and check that out. And yeah, it had a lovely interior, just a tastefully done classic sort of interior. Banded Ross styles by Devon Defender, the guy said. BFG.
Oh, they're a nice wheel.
They're lovely, aren't they?
Yeah.
And he'd done limestone wheels, limestone roof with the wood coat green. It just looked awesome.
And any young lad as well.
Yeah, yeah, him and his dad had done it together. Really, really top job. And again, it just shows sometimes less is more.
And Matt spotted, so the expedition vehicle was Fluffy. Now, we've mentioned Fluffy on the podcast before.
Perhaps the...
Because didn't you call the man Fluffy, not the vehicle?
Yeah, I got it wrong. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
The absolute opposite of less is more. This thing is just crazy to look at, isn't it?
So Matt saw the exhaust stack and he was sold immediately.
Loves a stack, does
he? Yeah.
but yeah, this is a 2B forward control, isn't it? That's been done out as an Expedition Overlander. Massive tyres. The back body's been modified with bits of other Land Rover. It's like you walk into the back. We've seen it at Billing as well.
We have. Yeah. Shows. Always come to say hello in life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a very, very striking and out there kind of machine, but just such character to it. And we thought, do you know what, that's going to be yeah, overlander of the show. And it won. Whilst I haven't teed up any listeners' questions, what we have got is someone did send me an email about something that we spoke about ages ago on the podcast. Do you remember we spoke about looking at old adverts in Land Rover magazines?
Yeah.
And the folding bull bar.
Yes.
On old 90s and 110s that folds down so you can put a bale on it.
Which I absolutely think is a great idea and they should make a comeback.
Well, I agree.
For that old time, you need to carry a bale across the field.
Andy Doughty got in touch and he said, I used to have one of them on my 90. And he sent me a picture, which I will now show you. But it's a really, really cool bit of... So there it is. Look, there's his 90. An F-reg with bar on the front.
There, he is correct.
Out in the snow as a family with the folding bull bar absolutely adorning the front of it.
I can't help but see. When was the last time you saw one of those red noses on a car?
Yes, they're quite rare now as well, aren't
they? Yeah.
But I don't know if people still do that. But yeah,
Red Nose Day was a thing, wasn't it? And then you bought the big red nose on the car.
You'd zip tie onto your grill.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really, really cool. What just a nice blast from the past, really. I mean, we keep threatening, don't we, to get lots of old issues of LRM out and go through the old adverts and see what you wouldn't get away with selling now.
Yeah.
Folding bull bars, definitely one of those things.
We should do that. Shall we do that next? Next week?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because we've got them in the office.
Yeah.
In a hidden location.
In a very top secret location.
The first year's worth of LRM.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Whilst I'm on the subject, I need to do a quick shout out to Josh Ledra, who got in touch and sent over some really, really cool aerial photos and drone footage of the show because we're putting a video together for our YouTube channel, and he said we could use it if we want. So big up, Josh Ledra. Thank you ever so much for that. Hope you enjoy the video when it comes out. Keep an eye on the YouTube channel. If you haven't already subscribed, the LRM YouTube channel, by all means, go on YouTube and follow us on our socials as well, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff, because we'll obviously link to it when it goes live. It's being edited as we very speak, Steve.
Yeah, we've critiqued it, haven't we? We sent it back. Change of music, I thought.
Yeah, there's a few little tweaks to do. But
now that we have a new podcast theme tune.
Indeed.
YouTube needs to follow, doesn't it? We need our own unique sound.
Put our own stamp on it. Yeah. Oh, of course, exciting news. As you will be listening to this, there is a new issue of Land Rover Monthly on sale.
Oh, yeah.
Which you obviously
that wouldn't have came around, didn't it?
It really did. And you would have got a sneak peek of that if you went to the show. But yes, new issue, the July issue of Land Rover Monthly, has hit shelves this very morning. So run out and buy a copy if you haven't already subscribed, which you should be, because then you get it before everyone else and it's a lot cheaper. Do you want to have Feature of the Week?
I do.
Shall we? Feature of the Week is our cover star, which is, funnily enough, has one of those hoods on that you were talking about. Not in black, it's in like a tan colour.
Yeah, but that's a great colour. Is that safety devices style, isn't it?
He's got the internal external safety devices cage. In fact, there's a lot you could take from this vehicle. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. This is a Defender 90, which is packing 680 horsepower from a blown GM V8 engine.
I won't be putting that in my London.
Will you? No, you're sticking with a TDI.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Half the cylinders and a turbocharger instead of a supercharger. But no, this isn't just any sort of... I'll give you a loose framework of how this vehicle came about and then go from there. There's a lot of V8 converted Defenders around, isn't there?
Yes, more so now than ever.
From all different, you know, some people have done DIY, some companies have done them. You know, there's a lot of ways to get big power out of a Land Rover. And when the owner of this Defender came into it, it was already converted to a V8, but it had been done not that well.
Not as well as it could have done.
Yes, indeed. So when he got hold of it, he wasn't, you know, he enjoyed driving it around and it was cool to own, but he wasn't blown away by the quality of the work. So he thought, right, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take it completely to bits and I'm going to, with help, of course, build my ultimate Defender 90. And that's exactly what he's done from the ground up. So not only is it just a Defender 90 with tons and tons of power, and I've been lucky enough to ride in this vehicle and it is just mind-bending how fast a 90 will go down the road. He's really put a lot of thought, a lot of detail into the build, and it is just as good as it can be at as many things as possible. You could easily daily drive this and not get annoyed with it, which is quite a you know, a big statement to make about any defender, but this is like, yeah, he's done a stunning job. Of course, with the help of Ian IRB Developments, another one of his, he's done a really, really bang up job on this defender. And yeah, you can get the full story in Land Rover Monthly, which of course is on sale as of today. Tons of other great stuff in this issue, which we will dip into in coming podcasts, which we will bring you up to speed with, just to give you a little taster of what's going on. So yeah.
So now you've done that, now you've mentioned that, surely you have teed up on Products of the Week.
What, you're going to want me to roll seamlessly into Products of the Week, aren't you?
I'm just seeing if I could put you under any pressure.
Well, Steve, diamonds are made under pressure, and let me tell you, I've got Product of the Week ready and waiting to go. Oh, yes. So, this week's Product of the Week is a cam pulley kit for TD V6 engines. Did you know that the standard cam pulleys on TD V6 engines are prone to shearing off and causing quite bad top end damage?
I did not know that.
Do you know it now?
Yeah.
I think it's down to a combination of people over tightening them when they do the timing belts, not torquing them up properly and just like gunning them up, or, you know, getting a bit angry and grollying them up with a big bar.
Okay.
Combination of that and subpar material, because they're like cast, they're not very good. So Design Development Engineering have come up with billet steel versions of the same pulley that eliminate the known problem of pulley failure on, yes, 2.7 and 3 litre TDV6. So next time you're doing timing belt on your 2.7 or 3 litre, get the old cast pulleys, chuck them in the bin, and fit a pair of these Design Development Engineering ones. £306, so not exactly a cheap part to buy, but they do come with a brand new genuine damper and the bolts, and £306 is still an awful lot cheaper than replacing your engine.
That Design and Development Engineering, they didn't have to turn out some good quality stuff, you know.
They do. Do you remember they did a replacement ace block for Range Rover Sport? You know, the pipes always corrode on the
ace block. Oh, yeah.
They also don't really enjoy, where the pipes go into the block, they corrode there as well, and the block leaks really badly. So they took the block, re-engineered it, and put like push fit hydraulic fittings on, so you can just cut your old pipes, get rid of the old block, which will undoubtedly be lashing fluid all over the place, bolt theirs on, push fit the pipes, and you're off again.
Job done.
Yeah, they do some really, really nice stuff.
The only product I've got of theirs is the 7-pin to military adapter for my electrics.
Oh, for your trailer.
Towing electrics. And it's just like a beautiful anodized orange, so you don't lose it or you can physically see it, adapter. Really, really good.
Do you know what I've got from them?
No.
Disc brake kit on the front of my Series 3.
Oh, is that one of theirs?
Yes, yeah, Design Development Engineering. Yeah, really, really good. Easy to fit. And it just takes all that annoying adjustability out of your front, especially on a 109 where you've got twin leading shoes. Keeping on top of them and bleeding them up if you've got any work to do is a bit of a pain. So, yeah, the disc brake kit, really, really impressed with that.
Yeah, good stuff.
So, yeah, got a lot of questions, actually, about the Series 3. It's the first time it's been a proper two-day show since we finished re-chassising it.
I know who you were gutted not to have seen it.
Who?
Harry. Harry's Adventure. Harry's Angel of Adventures.
Make it this year.
Yeah, because he was on holiday and you purposely wanted him to acknowledge the fact that it wasn't full of filler anymore.
I polished the tub sides especially for it. Yeah. So he can come with a screwdriver and give it a... So,
oh, there's filler in that one. It's like, yep, there is.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
I had a lot of people say, oh, it looks so different to when you came last year, and I couldn't help but think, well, yeah, that's because it looked, to be honest, like a bit of a shed when I brought it last year.
Hey, look, it was authentic.
Yeah. It had definitely gone to the scruffy side of the Tina.
Yeah, I think it had. When you look back and you see the before and after.
Yeah.
Pricks and things.
But no, had a good chat with our friend Adam as well, Adam Wormlerton, about the paint and the sort of bits he'd done to his... He uses WD-40 on his Wolf.
Yes.
WD-40 over it to just take the layer of dirt off, and it gives it a nice lustrous shine.
Yeah,
it
keeps on top of the military... I need to do it. I'm looking at a trailer now. That needs a bit of that.
You got to paint your top box as well.
I know.
Do you think you'll do that green, or do you think you'll do a different colour?
I don't know, because it looks a bit like a refrigerator box, because it's white.
If you had one of those spinny, roundy, whirly things on the top, it would look like you were delivering some sort of, like, I don't know, cold meats or something.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I mean, there were some cold meats in there, actually, in the fridge.
There was an industrial amount of cold meat, actually. Yeah. A lot of cooking to do. It was good fun, though.
It was. But yeah. Another vehicle I liked to see in the flesh was Chris Owoe and Jeremy Coburn from Coburn Fasteners.
Yes.
Their
Santana Trophy
Trophy build.
Indeed. Winner of the special award, no less, in the arena on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because there's a lot more to that than meets the eye. Don't get me wrong, it's a beautifully prepared Land Rover, and they've obviously done quite a grueling event with it. But the actual run-up, the stuff that they had to overcome on the run-up to that event, most people would have just gone, you know what, I can't be bothered, I'm going to do it next year. But they just stuck with it, and everything that came up, they just got on with, regardless.
There were some serious hours put into it.
Serious late nights, messing about, travel, you know, tracking down parts, language barriers. There was, you know, have a really, really good story, and we're probably going to, we'll get that in the magazine as well.
But that's probably what makes the whole story or the trip worth doing, because it wasn't just easy going. It was hard earned, but it was.
Yeah, they're certainly
appreciate it.
Get it in a.
No, you won't appreciate it. Appreciate it. It wasn't like book a ticket, go, come back. What's the adventure? Where's the adventure in that? Where's the fun?
Exactly. It was So
trip of a lifetime, really.
I thought that was definitely worthy of the special award, almost like the Spirit Award, because they'd literally just come back as well, and then they had to get packed up and come to Malvern. So it was literally non-stop, and they're still running. You know,
it was still full of sand.
Yeah, it was still, they'd washed it down and blasted it out, but there was still, Sahara dust absolutely everywhere. So,
yeah. Another 90 that was turned out really well. Brilliant. That's Roy Duffy, 4x4 session. That's got a really nice look about it.
I've been kind of loosely keeping up with the progress on that Defender, but I didn't realise it was going to be ready in time for the show. So when I saw it,
Roy probably didn't either.
Yeah, maybe. I ran over and that's like, if I was to build one for everything, for driving around green lane and camping and, you know, looking cool, that's probably not far off how I would do one myself.
Yeah.
It's got that really nice retro look to it, but it's got all the modern stuff that make, you know,
user-friendly.
Convenience, yeah, exactly, and reliability. And he's done hats off to Roy, because that's a really, really stunning 90. He's actually, it's a constant green, isn't it? 300 TDI. But the doors are orange, because I won't give too much away, because again, we'll probably get the story out in the mag. But
I did wonder, I did want to know why the doors were orange.
Everyone did, apparently, as Roy was telling me. I think that was the most asked question was over
it,
the weekend.
Yeah, I wondered whether it was deliberate or there were replacement doors not yet painted.
Again, these are the questions that were asked of Roy over the weekend. But no, it was very, very much deliberate.
Okay.
A combination of making it stand out and be unique, and he saw something online that made him think that was a good idea, and I think it works really well. That 90 will get used properly as well. It's not just a show pony.
Oh no, we used it, but it's just really nicely turned out. I just thought, yeah, that's a nice. But as were most, so many. I literally have seen every single camper, club, and trade vehicle that came in at some point. It was Friday. It was a busy, busy day booking most people in.
Yeah. Did you see the Trek Range Rover? The Range Rover P38 we had in the arena on.
Oh, yeah. I saw every single one.
There you go.
Yeah.
I should maybe have prepared a quick fire round of questions for vehicles that you could have seen, and I could have launched them at you.
I've seen it. Talk with them.
Honourable mention, to be fair, CVC Register. What a great selection of vehicles they had on display. Had a lovely chat with G-Wack John, you know, who's
a very brief chat with G-Wack John, and he handed me three lovely stickers.
Oh, he gave me some stickers as well. I didn't have any LRM podcast stickers on me.
I asked him the very question, have you got a LRM podcast? He said, no, not yet. I said, I'll go see Martin, he'll have some.
And I didn't, but the stand did. I had them on the stand.
Oh, okay.
So, had a nice chat with him. Ron Brown actually won Best Original Land Rover with his RBAC Freelander 1. Very, very early 1.8.
That was really nice.
Really nicely.
Immaculate.
Preserved and turned out. And again, it just goes to show like the diversity, the range of vehicles that are winning these awards. Like, you don't have to have a Defender. That's not the be-all and end-all. You can enjoy any Land Rover that you like and get recognised for it. That's what we're about.
Our kind of winners of the awards was sponsored by 4x4 Tyres, to sort of get that plug in there. But which we'll talk about in a second, actually, they're not necessarily, like, what I'm trying to say here is it's not, I've lost my train of thought here, but they're not obvious. They're not as obvious as you would think. Like, you think if it was a modified Land Rover, it had to have everything bolted on it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
Yeah.
Or Expedition, you would think, you wouldn't think of Fluffy immediately, would you?
No.
So that's why those awards are well earned, because they're kind of unique.
Definitely, definitely.
And they are more special that way.
It's
but anyone, what I'm saying is anyone could win one.
Exactly.
Next year.
Exactly that. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Again, what Land Rover you've got or what you do with it. You're always in the running. And I tell you what, someone who was pretty close to winning an award was a lovely guy. I didn't choose him on the basis that I know him, and it might be a bit like contrived, but a good mate of mine I used to work with, actually, Bob, brought his, he's got a Disco 4, but it's a 5-litre V8, Japanese import.
Okay.
And he's prepared it for overland travel, which must cost him an absolute fortune in petrol. But he's got roof tent, fridge, all the lighting. He stayed over, camped over for the weekend with his son, and had a real good tour of his Discovery 4, and he's done a cracking job with that. It's Bourneville Brown.
Briefly met him, didn't I?
Yeah.
Again, checking in. You were there at that point.
That's right. Like, yeah.
You introduced me, didn't you?
Yes.
You said you used to work with him.
I used to work on the ramp next to him. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. We're back in the dealership days. Yeah. Top guy.
Back in the day.
Proper enthusiast. And yeah, lovely chap. I had a good chat with him, and he gave me a ginger beer, which was very nice, because I did have a bit of a parched throat by the end of the day. Very hard to keep hydrated when you're talking nonstop.
Yeah.
Talking of which, we should probably get hydrated very soon.
We should. I might have some beers left.
Have you? Well, yeah, rude not to have a sleepy one, wouldn't it?
But just a kind of, just to finish up, really, a year of podcasts.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it?
We've kept it up.
It's gone fast.
It has. And, you know, let's say thank you now to everyone that's listened, everyone that's listening, everyone that's said hello to us. We've met so many people in the last 12 months because of it. Really, really appreciate that.
It kind of feels like, I think people think it's just been a nice, it's been lovely to chat about stuff that we would be chatting about anyway and share it with so many more people. And the engagement and the feedback and the people really want to get involved, which is lovely. And we want that to continue.
It's highlighted how great this, like, the community is.
Yeah, it really has. It really, really has.
And hopefully this is just an extra to that community that exactly. We do every week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to echo Steve's thoughts there, really. Thank you ever so much for listening, if you've listened to one podcast or all of them. Long may it continue, I say.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, this time next week, we'll be into year two. So
crazy. Oh, we're celebrating our new theme tune again.
Which I think, I really like it.
Yeah, definitely. It's something a little bit different, isn't it? And because
no one else has got it.
No, it's totally original music, which is nice. And it's probably a bit overdue because, you know, when we first launched, not a lot of people know this, when we first launched the podcast, we'd been talking about it for ages, hadn't we? Oh, we should start a podcast.
Probably about a year.
Probably had been about a year. And to be honest with you, I was amazed that no one else in the UK had launched a Land Rover-based podcast. So it was important that we...
We felt that we should be first, since we were leading Land Rover magazine.
So basically, it was like a Tuesday. No, it wasn't. It was a Monday. We said, right, let's record a podcast. Went down to the now infamous Salmon Sofa, recorded an hour of us waffling about wheels and tyres and your trailer, which has been a running theme, really, in the podcast.
But lots of people have asked me about it since. So
absolutely. Yeah. And, the podcast has developed along with your trailer, really.
Yeah. It hasn't.
I edited it, which I still do now, and it was a steep learning curve because, you know, I can change an EGR valve, but ask me to edit a video and it takes a little while.
You can edit a magazine, but editing digital stuff is somewhat different.
Yeah.
So I've got a skill set.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. But it, you know, it takes a little bit of fine tuning. And then I just said, right, let's upload it. So signed up to a hosting website and I hosted it and I scheduled it. And yeah, for 52 weeks since then, there's been a new LRM podcast at 6 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday.
Hello.
We're not slowing down, Steve.
I'm still proud of it.
There's still plenty more Land Rover waffle to be had.
Yeah. So often, a lot of people think you're going to run out of things to say.
Yeah.
But it's a bit like the magazine. You never run out of content.
We've got some cracking guests lined up for this year as well. So stay tuned is what I'll say. We've got some exciting people to have a chat with. And of course, we'll no doubt be off and about on our adventures and again, still spouting Land Rover nonsense to whoever will listen.
Yeah, long may that continue. But no, thank you ever so much.
Thank you indeed. Any feedback, any questions? We love listeners' questions. If you've got a question about the show or your Land Rover or anything else that's, you know, even just vaguely in the realm of Land Rovers, we've even given relationship advice this year.
I wonder if they're still together.
I bet they are.
Yeah.
After our relationship advice.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. but yeah, no, editorial at lrm.co.uk. And if you want, yeah, comment on the social posts as well, and we'll try and get to those. And yeah, we love listening to what you've got to say. We love answering questions, and we love doing this podcast. So thanks very much, and we'll see you next week.
Bye for now.